Good morning. 1 year ago, President Putin invaded Ukraine, and this was an invasion that the NATO allies warned against. We shared intelligence, and on this very stage here in Munich, I called on President Putin 1 year ago to step back from the brink. But he decided to carry out his plans, and since then, we have seen the most brutal war in Europe since the Second World War. Today, 1 year after, we can already draw some lessons. One is that we need to support Ukraine. NATO allies have provided unprecedented level of military support to Ukraine. We need to continue and sustain our support, because if President Putin wins in Ukraine, it will be a tragedy for the Ukrainians, but it will also be dangerous for all of us. It will be a message to all authoritarian leaders all over the world that when they use military force, they achieve their goals, and that will make the world more dangerous and us more vulnerable. So it is in our security interest to support Ukraine. The other lesson we can learn is the need to invest in our security. Even if the war ended tomorrow, it has changed our security environment for the long term. President Putin wants another Europe. He wants a Europe where he controls neighbors, and therefore we need to continue to invest in our security. And the third lesson we can learn from the war in Ukraine is that security is about more than armed forces. It's about our resilience of our societies, so critical infrastructure of energy supplies. And we have seen the vulnerability caused by the dependence on Russian gas, and we should make sure that we don't repeat those mistakes with other authoritarian regimes like China. But the most important lesson to be learned is the importance of North America and Europe standing together. There is no security in Europe without NATO, and the only way to preserve peace, to ensure our security, is to ensure that North America continues to stand together in NATO. Then I'm ready for your questions.
The main battle-tank coalition will not reach its target to send 2 battalions of Leopard main battle tanks to Ukraine. What's your message to countries like Sweden, Denmark, and Spain that has not announced to send main battle tanks ever now?
At our defense ministerial meeting this week in Brussels, the countries that have pledged to deliver main battle tanks met. They are now discussing how to organize and coordinate their efforts. I have called on allies to do what they can to deliver modern weapons, also armored vehicles and battle tanks, and we are in constant dialogue with allies on these specific deliveries. So I welcome that allies have decided to deliver battle tanks, Germany among them, Poland, the United Kingdom, United States, but I will not go into the specific discussions or consultations we have with the specific allies.
Secretary General, Ukrainian people almost 1 year after Russia's invasion, and a second question, if I may, are you concerned about Russia and China becoming closer?
My main message to the people of Ukraine is that NATO allies and partners, we will stand with Ukraine for as long as it takes. We have provided unprecedented support. We will continue to support Ukraine, and that is the message we are sending to the people of Ukraine, but also to Moscow, because we cannot allow President Putin to win this war. It will be a tragedy for the Ukrainians, but also dangerous for us. We are following closely the increased and stronger relationship between China and Russia. We see that they operate more together, they have exercises together, they have naval patrols, air patrols together. And the war in Ukraine demonstrates that security is not regional, security is global. Because what happens in Europe matters for Asia, and what happens in Asia matters for Europe. We know that Beijing is watching closely the war in Ukraine, because if President Putin wins there, it will impact the calculations and decisions they will make in Beijing. So when authoritarian powers are coming closer, working more closely together, it's even more important that all of us that believe in democracy and freedom, that we stand together in NATO and with our partners throughout the world.
Do you think it's possible for Ukraine to win this war on the battlefield, and under which conditions?
Yes, that's the reason why we are supporting them. It has been stated again and again from NATO allies that we support Ukraine to ensure that they win and prevail as a sovereign, independent nation. Then this war may end at the negotiating table, but we know that what happens around the negotiating table is totally dependent on the strength on the battlefield. So the only way to ensure lasting, just peace in Ukraine is to give them military support today, so President Putin understands that he has to sit down and accept terms for negotiations, which ensures that Ukraine prevails as a sovereign, independent nation.
Georgia was the first victim country of Russia in 2008. What will be your message to Georgian people? How ally will support our country?
Well, the message to the people of Georgia is that the war in Ukraine is part of a pattern that actually started with the invasion of Georgia. Then we have seen the brutal war in Syria. Then we saw the illegal annexation of Crimea, and then we now saw the full-fledged invasion of Ukraine. So we will continue to work closely with partners like Georgia, and that's part of the message now, 1 year after the war.
Political. We've heard a lot of concerns about Russian air power and the capabilities that the Russian Air Force still has. Are you concerned that Russia could launch an air campaign sometime soon?
So Russia has suffered big losses on the ground. Armored vehicles, battle tanks, and also a lot of personnel. They have much less losses when it comes to air power, aircraft, missiles, and therefore it is extremely important to ensure that Russia doesn't gain air superiority, control the airspace over Ukraine, and allies are focused on that, not least by continuing to deliver advanced air defense systems to Ukraine. This is partly about delivering advanced systems to ensure that Ukraine can defend and protect their skies, but it's also very much about ensuring that all the systems Ukraine has already received can operate as they should, meaning there is an enormous need for spare parts, for maintenance, for ammunition, to ensure that the air defense systems we have delivered, including modern advanced ones, can operate as they should. And that's one of the messages also from the NATO Defense Ministerial meeting this week, that the war in Ukraine is now becoming more and more a grinding war of attrition. And a war of attrition is a battle of logistics. It is about supplies, ammunition, including to ensure that the air defense systems are working as they should.
Did you receive any assurances or guarantees from Turkey during your visit yesterday regarding the accession to NATO of Finland and Sweden, and any update on the timetable?
I visited Turkey yesterday to express my solidarity and express my condolences after the terrible earthquake, which is the biggest natural disaster on NATO territory since NATO was founded. NATO allies are providing significant support to Turkey. NATO is helping to setting up temporary housing and also providing strategic airlift to transport different types of support to Turkey after the earthquake. In my meetings with President Erdogan and also with Foreign Minister Çavuşoğlu, we also addressed the issue of Finnish and Swedish membership. I reiterated my position, and that is that the time has come to ratify both Sweden and Finland. Finland and Sweden have met their obligations under the trilateral agreement that was negotiated between Turkey, Finland and Sweden at the NATO summit in Madrid last July. They have stepped up their efforts to fight terrorism. Sweden has amended the constitution, and they have removed any restrictions on arms exports to Turkey. So I have made it clear, also in my meetings in Ankara, that the time has come to ratify both countries and make them full-fledged members. Then, of course, the main issue is not whether Finland and Sweden join at the same time. The main issue is that Finland and Sweden join as soon as possible. It is, of course, a Turkish decision whether they ratify both protocols or only one protocol. What matters is that they ratify both as soon as possible.
Thank you very much. That's all we have time for.
Thank you.
Thank you.